Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining me is Mark Mellon, who is currently serving as Master Sculptor in Residence at Chesterwood, the estate of Daniel Chester French and a National Trust Historic Site in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Mark Mellon is famed for his bronze trophies, busts, and sculptures of figures such as President Obama, President George H.W. Bush, Pope John Paul II, George Eastman. His works have been featured in the National Portrait Gallery and the National Museum of American History at the Smithsonian and the British Museum, to name a few. Mellon will deliver a public lecture at Chesterwood on July 29th at 3 p.m. Mark Mellon, welcome, and what an honor it is to have you with us. You know, your resume looks unbelievable.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here. It's after 40 years, if you keep your eyes on the prize, I always had a sense of history, and being a public sculptor gave me an opportunity to interface with history in different ways, and to create works that are literally part of the art history of America. So, for example, I was part of a competition 4 years ago to create the official 2009 Presidential Inaugural Medal. This medal history, the official medals, go back to the days of McKinley and TR. Theodore Roosevelt, who was a visionary, he felt that we should have sculpture that our coinage, our medals, and our public sculpture should reflect the greatness of America. And so he went to St. Gaudens because he didn't like the first design for his inaugural medal. And St. Gaudens created an iconic medal that's coveted by collectors. The medal that I did of Barack Obama is part of that history.
So the Obama people came to you and asked you to do this?
Well, it doesn't quite work like that. This is from the ground up. There are private mints around the country working with sculptors. There were other artists working on McCain medals at the same time.
Interesting.
Because you want to have them ready because they help raise the money for the inaugural events, but the sale of these medals. And there, from what I understand, there were 15 designs presented to Obama's Presidential Inaugural Committee. And they went through them, and I got the call.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, let's talk about what you're doing this summer. This is really interesting stuff. Now, the French studio, Chesterwood, pretty close to opposite the Norman Rockwell Museum on Route 183, is a wonderful place. I love it. Now, do you channel Daniel Chester French by being in there?
that's a great question. I am so conscious of the fact that I'm walking in his footsteps, literally walking in his footsteps. I'm using the light that he used, that same fabulous Berkshire light, wafting in through the 30 feet of Northlight windows. Now, I have a similar footprint to my studio in Reading, Connecticut. I built it some 7 years ago, and it was built very much with Chesterwood in mind. But the experience of actually working in that space has transformed the way that I'm now using my own studio. After the first weekend of working at Chesterwood, I realized that I had a little bit too much light coming in from other sources, and I've started to experiment with subduing the light. It's been a huge difference in the way I see my own work. This, I think, is a tribute to Donna Hassler, the executive director of Chesterwood. She wanted sculptors who were working in French's tradition to have the experience of being in his space.
Now, are people allowed to come in and see you at work?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm there. It's this doesn't change.
Do they ask questions?
Absolutely.
And any of the questions terrible?
You know what? You get a range of questions from the novice to people who are sculpting or aspiring to sculpt. So I get very sophisticated questions and I get very naive questions. Mm-hmm. But once upon a time, when I got my license as a high school art teacher, I never used the license. It was a deal I made with my mother when I left pre-med for art.
Something to fall back on.
Something. Well, I greatly admire our great teachers, but I always had my eyes on doing this professionally. And so when you'll have 20, 25 people go through a tour of French's historic home, which is right just a few steps from
wonderful
the studio.
Spot.
Then they'll come to the studio, wander in, and there I am working with a model, and I turn around and I say, I'm Mark Mellon. I'm the sculptor in residence. Anyone have any questions? That's why I'm here. So it's really very, very easy. It's I like people. It's easy for me to talk about what I do. And I love Chesterwood, so I know that I'm enhancing their experience when they come to visit.
So what does the Berkshires as an entity mean to you in your residency?
The Berkshires are just fabulous. And what a source of inspiration beyond being at Chesterwood. I'm working with models from Kripala. I had a wonderful model who's been studying yoga the last year there at the Yoga Center in Stockbridge. And we just developed a new piece the last couple of days. I have another model coming from Berkshire Pulse, which is one of the dance studios, and she's been in the master class for years.
When you come into the Berkshires, do you have a sense that you're in a different place? I know I do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Babette and I have started to drive a little more slowly around corners, wondering, gee, could we live in that spot for a few months out of the year? When we come up, we visit that other wood. You know, we have Chesterwood and we have Tanglewood.
Indeed.
And Tanglewood, what a spectacular place. I was there on the lawn for the 75th anniversary concert at Tanglewood.
Well, I was inside, but that's okay.
It was, your experience was a little different from mine, but
it was great.
I can tell you that the 14,000 people on the lawn, we all had a great time.
Yeah.
And then to go to Shakespeare and Company to see Jacob's Pillow. Now, much of my work is dance-related.
Oh, interesting.
So there are all these fabulous institutions to stimulate your artistic sensibility.
How long does it take you to do a piece?
It really varies. I've done sculptures, smaller works in the course of a week.
Really?
Usually out of clay or plastiline or wax. They're all modeling materials. I then cast into bronze. I do limited editions sold through galleries around the country. But I also, I really spend about three quarters of my time working on commissioned projects. And for example, down the road a piece in Rochester, New York, I've got an 8-foot statue of George Eastman. I think you mentioned it at your opening, which was commissioned. George Eastman, we think of him as the guy who founded Kodak, but he was also using his, he was one of the gazillionaires of that era. He was using his monies to fund both the new campus for the University of Rochester. At the same time, he was funding the campus at MIT. There's a big bas-relief sculpture of Eastman at MIT, but they didn't have anything at Rochester. So 3 years ago, my sculpture was unveiled. And I'm so pleased that they're using it in all of their literature as they get in touch with alum to give to their current capital campaign.
Fantastic. Have you seen the sculpture garden, the new sculpture garden at Tanglewood?
I have not, but I've read about it. And I understand that they're doing busts of some of the greats who have...
The first one was Aaron Copland, mm-hmm. and I was there the day of the unveiling. It was quite something.
Yeah, I think Williams chose Penelope Jenks, who's a very fine sculptor, colleague of mine.
She was there.
She did the Eleanor Roosevelt that's on the Upper West Side in Manhattan.
Yes.
And, when you read in the New York Times that someone's been commissioned, when I read in the New York Times that someone's been commissioned, the first thing I think is, okay, did they make a good choice or not?
Yeah, but isn't the whole thing in the way it looks in the end, no matter who the sculptor is? In other words, if you look at Aaron Copland and say, I didn't, but if you did and said, well, that doesn't look anything like Copland, no matter what their credentials are, you know, that's what you're thinking.
A good sculptor should be able to capture the likeness. Sure. And beyond the likeness, you know, likeness is just really one level.
Right.
I mean, I do portrait busts around the globe. I have my bust of Pope John Paul II's at the Vatican. So there should be something of the inner life of the person in every bust that you create as a sculptor.
So I want to go on and move to another spot. Do you, when you do George H.W., do you have to be there with him? Or, in other words, you have to meet him and talk to him in order to get the inner something?
Oh, I had informal time with 41.
We're talking about
41.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And I was a young sculptor. I kind of jumped the line. I was fortunate that I was commissioned to do the bust, and very, very conscious at the time that that my senior colleagues were going to look very closely at the quality of work. And the first cast went to CIA at the president's request. Second cast went to the National Portrait Gallery of the Smithsonian. And then I got a call years later when the Bush School of Government was created on the grounds of the Bush Library, College Station, Texas. You know, Mr. Mellon, we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us honor the president by donating a cast of your bust of. I took a deep breath. I said, you know, there's a problem with the tax law. I would love to donate the bust. But the good news is that whereas if I donated it, I cannot deduct anything but the bronze cost. If you find a donor to pay me what it's worth, he can donate. He can deduct the whole amount. That's so.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened, and
make a living.
We have to make a living. I explained that to them. They understood.
Yeah.
It's
But let me go back to this, Mark. So when you get a request like that, it's been a couple of years since you've cast another bronze. What do? Do you have to just start heat up the bronze all over again, or what do you do?
Well, you have a master mold.
Yeah.
And I tend to have also a master plaster. So I have the negative impression in the mold, the rubber mold, and I also have a plaster that I've refined. Just in case there are issues down the road with the mold, I can do a new mold, a fresh mold, to recast. And
gotcha.
And this is the way sculptors, frankly, make a living. You know, you sell it first, that's great. You sell a second, that's much better. You've already put the time in. And you know, my limited edition bronzes, I just sold an over life size gorgeous dance figure to the Chimay Museum in Taiwan.
Mm. And how'd they find you?
They actually had a representative here years ago looking for an American sculptor to do a bust of President Lee. President Lee Teng-hui of Taiwan, the first democratically elected president of Taiwan. I ended up doing a bust of President Lee, of Madam Lee, and of Chairman Xi. Chairman Xi, the Chimay Museum in Taiwan, the Chimay Company's second biggest plastics manufacturer.
Did you go to them?
They brought me over to Taiwan. My wife and I took the royal tour. We sat in the president's box at the opera. You know, there are perks to this profession if you do it at a certain level. I'm very conscious, though, that I've been more than fortunate.
Let's spend the last few minutes, Mark, if we can, on your work at the Daniel Chester French. Who have been some of the other people who have been there?
Well, I know that Judith Shea, who's a very fine sculptor, did a residency there not too long ago, I think in the last 2 years. She wasn't in the same space that I'm in. One of the nice things about Chesterwood is that they have acres and acres and acres of grounds and views and trails where they have their contemporary sculpture trail set up now. There's an exhibit.
But you're right in the room with the Lincoln model.
I am, which is what a privilege. Judith worked on her own work in another space on the property. And the vision for Chesterwood really is to grow it into an artist colony.
Ah.
It's or this is one of the visions being discussed.
So where do you sleep?
Well, I was at my mother-in-law's in Lenox last night.
I see. Anybody's got a spare couch for you guys, they should let you know.
You know what? It's in general, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and my wife and I all get along great. So
that's where you stay. But if it's going to be an artist colony like so many of the others, they'll have to start to put people up, won't they?
Absolutely. And it's a challenge, but they're looking to beef up the their board of advisors. You know, fundraising is the name of the game. And they have such an opportunity there because you get people from all over the country who some who are year-round now, some who are come and go with the seasons, who have great interest in the arts.
Yes, and you know, my family, my wife Roselle and I, put up the Rockwell artists and all the people who...
Really?
Yeah, and all the people who play at Arlo's church are most of them.
You're going to get a call from Chesterwood, my friend. We're going to put you on the list because... this is really an issue. It's but again, you have people like yourself in these towns in the Berkshire who have a visceral love for the arts, for the artists, an understanding of the process. And if you want to bring great artists up to the area, they need nice place to sleep. They need to eat.
As do the artists at Tanglewood, I can tell you that much.
Absolutely, absolutely. And our daughter, who is on her way to Stanford this fall, one of her good buddies is at Tanglewood, thrill of her life.
As one of the fellows.
Rehearsing with these greats from around the globe.
Yeah.
I mean, what a fabulous thing. We want to do something, if you will, analogous at Chesterwood. You bring the absolute best sculptors you can to the space. You create, over time, additional spaces where people can work, where people can come and take classes, where people can learn about the tradition of creating sculpture. I mean, what a fabulous opportunity.
Well, Mark Millen, what a wonderful time with you. I'm so pleased. We could have done a lot more, but I think that the message comes in that you love the Berkshires, that you love the Daniel Chester French establishment, and that you are going to be there and that people can come and watch you work.
Well, absolutely, and if you're interested in the lecture, please call and reserve, because I do understand that tickets are hot.
Our guest has been Mark Millen, who is currently serving as Master Sculptor in Residence at Chesterwood. He will deliver a public lecture July 29th at 3 p.m. I'm Alan Chartok, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.